This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I think Pedro and I are going to do something curious here. Michael Tracy, writer in the U.S. He posted a remarks made by presidential candidate Donald Trump, and I was listening to it. It is so shocking. And here's the thing. I'm going to tell you what he's talking about. He was speaking about his support for Israel, and nobody is more for it than he is, et cetera. And he said that he was meeting with Sheldon Adelson, who has passed, and his widow is around, and she has given $100 million to the Trump campaign. And he said they used to visit him regularly. And he said, I got to do something for the Adelsons. He said, I gave them the Golan Heights. This is what he said, the Golan Heights. I said, I did that for them. And I registered that on my Richter scale as a Caligula moment. You know, the legend is that Caligula, the Roman emperor, by legend, appointed a horse to his cabinet to be his, I forget what kind of position. Of course, the previous occupant had been the rear end of a horse, but this was a real horse, according to legend. But it's a kind of madness and egocentricity, ego of American imperialism at this moment. Trump does, says something so outrageous that he did it as a personal gift. And the underlying the story is that the Democratic Party did not mention that because they thought, oh, no, don't say anything about that. We might lose a few votes or something. So we're going to play that. I think it's ready to go. I'll come back right after.
Just as I promised, I recognize Israel's eternal capital and opened the American embassy in Jerusalem. Jerusalem became the capital. I also recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. You know, Miriam and Sheldon would come into the White House probably almost more than anybody outside of people that worked there. And they were always after. And as soon as I'd give them something, always for Israel, as soon as I'd give them something, they'd want something else. I'd say, give me a couple of weeks, will you please? But I gave them the Golan Heights, and they never even asked for it. You know, for 72 years, they've been trying to do the Golan Heights, right? And even Sheldon didn't have the nerve. But I said, you know what? I said to David Friedman, give me a quick lesson, like 5 minutes or less on the Golan Heights. And he did. And I said, let's do it. We got it done in about 15 minutes, right?
There you go. That's a candidate for the president. And as I said, really, it's a Caligula moment. We want to note these things. We're probably going to have a Nero moment not too long in the future. But we're talking about politics. The Democratic Party has not found that offensive. They didn't say, listen, you don't talk about personal gifts of other people's territory. You don't do that, but the reason he does it is because he's throwing red meat to the appetite for empire, which runs right through the culture. And if people don't challenge that, they'll have to take what empires end up having to take. I thought it was profound in so many ways and, of course, bizarre. And because it's Trump, it's also hilarious and makes you want to, I guess, throw up. I want to make an announcement or two here. On October the 5th, there's going to be a demonstration, Dundas and Young, in solidarity with Palestine. South Palestine Youth Movement is the prime mover, I believe, in this, who they have been staging over the year. Really sobering and wonderful demonstrations, in my view, because the posture of our government, the posture of the U.S. government, France, Britain, has been simply to aid and abet what is going on. And fortunately, there have been large and larger demonstrations throughout the year. And there is another one. It's going to be October the 5th. And it is at 2 p.m. At 1 p.m. at 25 Cecil Street, Steelworker Hall, the Labor for Palestine and unions that support, and by the way, right across the board, they are more and more supporting Palestine, will be there, 25 Cecil Street, 1 p.m. I believe there will be speakers of why labor is getting more and more involved, organized labor. And from there, from 25 Cecil at 1 p.m., they will go march as representatives of unions to Dundas Square for the 2 o'clock demonstration. And I really urge everybody to turn out for that. I think it's very important. There's a couple of pieces of news. These are called small things, but I want to make sure I say them. This is going to be the inauguration of the new president of Mexico. I may have my dates wrong. Perhaps it's happening. The aspect of it I want to call attention to is that China accepted and was invited by the new president to attend her inauguration. In France, a remarkable progressive figure, a socialist, an avowed socialist, not the kind that make up the background in the NDP photographs, but a real actual socialist, Mélenchon, whose grouping won the election and by logic, by reason, and I believe law, should have been named the Prime Minister of France. He has not been named. He's now struggling against Macron to perhaps remove Macron. We'll see. But he issued a very strong statement on the assassination of Nasrallah. He has labeled Israel's actions genocidal. This is remarkable. We're talking about France now, the leader of France. A lot more votes than Macron, who doesn't need votes, I guess. I mean, he said in his speech, by the way, something we ought to repeat a lot here. He said nine billionaires control 90% of the French media. You always want to remember when you look at our media, the Post, Globe, Star, who owns them, because the guy who pays the piper calls the tune. And there's been an election in Austria, and the way the media has handled that here is to say, oh, the right-wingers have won in an election. They're right-wing, right-wing, right-wing. And they say this about Mr. Orban in Hungary. What they want to emphasize is not, they don't want you to hear what it would be that moved the population to support, but this is significant that that there's been an election, and those who are prevailing in the election are those who are calling for an end to the war in Ukraine, and they're calling for a reasonable settlement, and they're calling for an end to sanctions on Russia, and basically a real compromise and a real peace settlement. They feel rightly that their countries are at risk, and they definitely are at risk. And it's not surprising that parties who say this will be elected. So therefore, the media here feels they have to put in the word right-wing so as to camouflage, hide the reality that the reason the votes are moving towards these candidates is because these candidates are saying they are not enamored with Mr. Zelensky, that they don't like his policies, and they don't think this war should have happened or should have been compromised in the first place. And remember also the Prime Minister of Slovakia, Robert Fico, who cannot be called a right-winger. I guess somebody would do it, but he is a graduate of the old Marxist left of Slovakia. And so it's a growing trend. And it will not be reported Instead, it'll be hidden under words like right-wing. And right-wing is not what it's about. What it's about is people of Europe feeling, knowing from history that they are in a near-warlike situation between Russia, U.S., and they notice that the U.S. is quite insane. It doesn't understand any kind of limits, and that's because, of course, it's an exceptional country. It doesn't have to worry about limits, just as Israel has impunity. So they do things that frighten other countries, and it causes, when there's an election, for movement in votes. That's why Mr. Mélenchon did so well in France.